bees that are running rampant in Brockdale County. I suppose y'all that are firefighters in Brockdale County have heard that and probably read the same. It appears, according to the article, that foxes are the culprit spreading these rabies. Several people have been bitten in Rockdale County. I guess there was other probably places that rabies have been rampant as well this time of the year. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I don't know about the rabies part of it as much perhaps as I would like, but I do know this: there's another more dangerous disease that you and I can get bitten by perhaps, and I think it's the disease called the old self. That old self, that disease is a mighty terrible disease. You know, this whole world we live in teaches us to be self-sufficient, self-centered, self-seeking. It's all about self. In fact, you know the Burger King mentality. Have it your own way. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us have it your own way. And if we're not careful, we can develop that mindset when it comes to the Christian life. But may I suggest to you that contrary to popular opinion, God's word is diametrically opposed to the philosophy of have it your own way. In fact, I'll take it a step further. Jesus said it this way. He said, if any man wish to follow me, let him deny himself and take up a cross and follow me. He says further in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, he that loves his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. I'm telling you, the Bible is different than the world's philosophy. But we live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you see, speaking of rabies and foxes, I want to tell y'all something that happened to me yesterday. I came to the church after the time of training, and you know what I found? I was walking up on the old sanctuary, the steps. You know what I found? A cat laying on the right, pointing toward the door. I've seen this cat run around the church for a couple of days. It's skinny, mangy-looking cat, black and gray cat. How many have seen the cat that I'm talking about? And anyway, it was a sad sight indeed, because the cat's just laying there. And the cat, you can tell, it's going to be very shortly, the cat's going to die. In spite of trying to give the cat something, it wasn't very long after that. I went out to the porch, and there was the cat, a dead cat on the front porch, facing the door of the church. You know, I thought about that, and of course I buried the cat later, got a shovel, and yesterday afternoon, and found a good place to bury the cat. I didn't have a memorial service, granted, but anyway, I did. It reminded me of the little girl that had a little cat named Morris, and the cat died, and the mother was trying to console the little girl and said, "Honey, don't worry about it. Morris is with Jesus in heaven. Morris is with God in heaven." The little girl said, "Mama, what does Jesus want with a dead cat? You know, why does Jesus want?" Now, you can, I don't know, some people say animals go to heaven. You know, you take your choice on that. But anyway, the point is this. I was thinking about seeing this dead cat on the front porch now. What would you do? I mean, number one, I was sad. But number two, I mean, I love animals too. We got animals at our house, had them through the years and all. But anyway, here's the point. The point is this, that I thought, Lord, this is a picture. This is a picture of people trying to get in the church that are sick and are dying. And we're living in a world that's just covered with people that are hurting and are dying, literally. And they're sick and they're sin sick. And people are trying to find an answer. And as the cat was close to the front door, it was almost as if the cat was pointing, trying to get in the front door. I don't know about that. I preached to some cats before, amen, and some dogs and some cows and birds and such. But anyway, I want you to know, today God's got a message on my heart for you and for me, and it's this. The title is Onward, Christian Soldiers. Onward, Christian Soldiers. How many remember that old song? Onward, Christian Soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. And that's a tremendous song, Onward, Christian Soldiers. You see, let me just remind you again, it's easy to get bitten with this bug called self-centeredness. Again, our world is saturated, yea, dominated with self, 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 taking selfies of self, and that's the number one word in 2013. And anyway, But you know what? For us as believers, y'all listen, are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. For as believers, it's not about self. Rather, when you get Jesus in your life, when he saves you by his marvelous grace, all of a sudden you realize that you've been bought with a price, that he paid our sin debt in full. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be judged. I deserve to be cast away. I didn't deserve for the Lord to forgive my sins. I don't know about y'all, but man, my sins were piled up higher than the ceiling. But thanks be to God for his mercy and grace in my life. And so I began to think about that hey, the Lord's got a plan for me. God's got a purpose. Lord, what do you want me to do? I can't pay him back, and I don't intend to try to, but I can say this, Lord, I want to love you and serve you and let you have your way with my life. Tell me, are you letting the Lord have his way with your life? You see, this principle in the Bible, onward Christian soldiers, is integrated from Genesis to Revelation. And in fact, this principle that I'm talking about, taking our place on the cross, saying no to self. Some of us today, you don't have time to serve God, do you? You're busy doing this, and you got families occupying all your time, and you got things you've got going on, and there's nothing wrong with your family, and there's nothing wrong with working, and there's nothing wrong with jobs, nothing wrong with activities and children in school and all that stuff. I know, I've been there and still there, busy as well. But here's the bottom line. We've got to get our priorities in the right place, because one day we will take our last breath. We will have to face God, and we will go to a place out in eternity, either heaven or hell. The Bible makes it very clear. But let me tell you this. But you see, there's a principle in the Word of God about dying to ourselves, taking our place in the cross. Boy, I prayed a moment ago about the cross. You see, the cross not only represents Jesus dying for me, he taking my sins in his body on the tree. But wait a minute, if you read the whole gospel and if you read the whole Bible, you find out that there's more to it than that. In fact, the Lord said that again, we're to take up a cross and follow him. What does he mean by that? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What did it mean? I am crucified with Christ. No longer is me. I'm not the boss of my life anymore. No, rather Jesus, is he really Lord? Are you letting him have your all? Is he master? Is he boss? Or is he just when it's convenient, I'll go to church and I'll serve God or whatever it might be? Well, let me tell you this. Had Joseph, if you look at the scripture, you find out, you take the book of Genesis, and you see a man named Joseph. You see, Joseph, if he had not been forsaken, he would have never learned how to forgive. And so God carries us through experiences in our life. Some of you are going through some experiences today in your life, aren't you? Mary, we're praying for you. Some of you are going through some trials and some troubles. But I got good news for you. God is still on the throne, and the Lord has a plan and a purpose as we go through experiences in life. Take Joseph again, for example. You remember when his brothers betrayed him? It was Joseph that said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. If Joseph had never been forsaken, he never had been able to forgive his brothers like he did. What are you going through in your life? What have you been through in your life? What kind of experiences has God permitted you and allowed you to go through in your life to make you a better child, a better Christian, a better child of God? You take, for example, Jacob. God had a plan. There was a process. We're all, if you're saved today, let me ask you this. How many of you know you're saved? There's no doubt about it. Let me see your hand. Do you realize, and I know you do, you're in the process, and I'm in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. The Lord's plan and purpose for us is that people might see Jesus in us and through us. Could it be that those experiences that God is allowing you and allowing me are meant for our good? I'll tell you, they are meant for our good. We don't always understand it. We can't always explain it. But we've got a Father we can trust. That's a good place to say amen. We've got a Father we can trust. We've got a Heavenly Father that knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows everything in between. He knows our thoughts are far off. Wait a minute. Since he knows that, can't you trust him? Can't you really trust him with your life? Why aren't you trusting him more? Why aren't we trusting him more? Why are we worrying? Why are we full of anxiety? Why? Well, Jacob had to learn that he had to be broken before he could get blessed. Jacob lied. He had a lying problem. He was a cheater, a deceiver, and yet he had to be broken. God had to break him literally as he wrestled with the angel in Genesis 32. But the Lord had a plan for all that. God wasn't just doing that to punish Jacob. Rather, he wanted to make Jacob a man of God and a man of faith, and therefore God allowed him to go through that process. He blessed him. In fact, he changed his name from Jacob, the surplanter, to Israel, the prince that prevails with God. In fact, I read in the book of Genesis chapter 25, what's going on right now in Israel and Gaza, by the way, is that struggle between Jacob that God prophetically prophesied to Rebekah that in her womb would be two boys. The older one would serve the younger one, namely Esau would serve Jacob. And today the Palestinians, the Muslims are right now fighting with the Jews, Jacob's descendants versus Esau's descendants. There it is right there. But wait a minute. Don't stop there. Follow with me the trend. What about Moses? Moses, had he not learned how to be inadequate, had he not learned that he was a stuttering, stammering preacher who could not get the job done when God called him at the burning bush and told him that he took his shoes off? You remember the story. But God was teaching Moses, watch this, that what we need more than ever before is to depend on him. You see, when you sign this form, it's not about you and what you and I can do. It's about what God can do. And it's about what God wants to do. And it's about the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So, you see, there is Moses. He's got to learn to depend on God. Wait a minute. Stop. Time out. Have we learned to depend on God? Have you and I learned to trust in the Lord when we can't figure it out? When we can't explain everything? When we go through troubles and trials? Right now, are we saying, Lord, I can't, like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? I can't see my way clear, but I'm going to depend on you. Hey, you take Joshua. Remember Joshua? How many remember Joshua? What about him? Joshua had to learn to follow before he could lead. Who did he follow? In the book of Joshua chapter 5, he had to learn to follow. Namely, come under the authority of the angel of the Lord. Why? God had a plan for Joshua. Why? He was to lead the children of Israel. He had to first learn how to follow before he could lead. God had a plan for Joshua to take the children of Israel over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. Well, have we learned to follow? Have we learned to follow the leading, the prompting, the wooing, and the filling, and the anointing, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit? Have we learned to listen to the still, small voice? Are we sensitive to grieving the Spirit of God? Are we being led by the Spirit, as Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 14? Well, he was led, and then he led those into the promised land. Will you take not only him, but what about David? David, watch this, don't miss this. David had to learn to come under authority before he could be over authority. I'm talking about a pagan king. I'm talking about Saul, the madman Saul. How many remember Saul? How many remember what happened to Saul? How many remember the demon spirit, the evil spirit that came upon Saul? David, can you believe David would submit to a king who was trying to kill him? And yet David did, and God spared him. And furthermore, God elevated David as king. What's the point? The point is this. We've got to learn to come under authority before we can be over authority. And ultimately, wait a minute, did not God raise up David to be king of both Israel and Judah? Absolutely. There's a principle in the Word of God. Death to myself, life to Jesus. It's not my will, but it's your will, Lord. And you know what? Hey, here it is. I'm going to nail this thing down over and over again, over and over, onward, Christian soldiers. Here's the point. Listen to me. Here's the point. We gotta make ourselves available. Nobody's going to do that. God's not going to twist your arm. He can, granted. He can put us through circumstances to show us that we're running from him and his will rather than surrender to him. He loves us. He's got a great love for you and for me. Nobody else loves me like the Lord does. And God's got your best interest in mind and my best interest in mind. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for me. And all we need to do is get in on what he wants. Not my plan, but his plan. Tell me, have you done that? Tell me, has there been that great exchange? Tell me, has there been a point in your life after you've been saved where you've taken your hands off your life and said, you know, God, I'm busy and I got all this stuff going on, but you're number one. I want to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness. And then you said all these other things in Matthew 6:33, namely food and namely raiment and namely the casting our care, anxiety. You would take care of the rest of the things. Well, have you done that? Can I tell you somebody else? Look at the life of Job. Job, had he not have been tested, he would have never triumphantly been victorious. Well, what do you mean? You see, God was carrying Job through the process. Job was in the scene, Satan behind the scene, and yet God was beyond the scene. How many believe the devil is real? How many believe the devil's after you and he's after me? Well, wait a minute, because Job learned, he knows my ways, and when he tried me, I shall come forth like gold. That's Job chapter 23 and verse number 10. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1:21. Let's say it together. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say it with me. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, God wasn't trying to ruin Job. No, God was trying to bless Job. Is God trying to bless you? Is God wanting to give you a bigger platform? Is the Lord wanting to give you an open door? We're going to look in the Bible today about a church with an open door. Let me ask you a question. How many know how many doors are in this building? Do you know how many doors are in this building? I see some of you count. Do you know how many doors are in all the whole church? This building, that building, that building, that building. You ever known how many doors? Well, you can count them, can't you? I want you to know God's got an open door for you. And God's got an open door for you. And God's got an open door for you. You're going to see it in a moment. You're going to see it crystal clear. I don't know what your door is. I know what God, I don't really fully know what all God's got in my open door, but I know this. I want to walk through it. God said, I'll open a door no man can shut it, and I'll shut a door no man can open. How many believe he can do it? He said he could do it. I believe he can do it. I don't know what your open door is, but God said, I'll set before you an open door. Well, praise his holy name. Because you see, Esther, if Esther had never fought her fears, she would have never fed her faith. And you know the book of Esther. You know Mordecai, her uncle, really her adopted daddy. And Esther, who knows whether you come to the kingdom such a time as this. And that's in Esther 4 and 14. Had Esther not have fought her fears, no doubt she didn't want to go before the king. The Jews were going to be exterminated according to the villain Haman's wicked plot, which he ultimately was hung on the own gallows that he erected to kill the Jews. But Esther had to fight her fear. How many know that you've got to fight your fear? Oh man, I'll tell you what, you got to fight that anger too. I was up all night long. I'll tell you something that happened to me last night. I got called about 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30. And boy, I had to fight this thing all night long. Finally, rested a little bit before the alarm rung this morning. I'm telling you, the enemy's real. The devil's real. And we are having to fight our fear, feed our faith, because thank God Jesus is Lord. Hey, Peter. Peter never been blessed had he not have been broken. Peter. Oh, listen, Peter, God's got a plan for you, Peter, but you're not there yet, and you're not going to get there until you go through the process of brokenness. Is there anybody here today that God has got the sandpaper on you? He's sanding off that rough edges on you. He's got his pruning shears, man. He's cutting back. He's not cutting to ruin you, rather. He's cutting you back because he wants some more fruit. Oh, yes, he does. God's got a great plan for you. He's got an open door for you and for me. And if you take your Bibles, you'll find out in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, there is a church called the Open Door Church. Look with me, please, in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. And as you're turning to Revelation 3, I want you to look at the screen, and you're going to see I had the privilege of being in the remains of what is believed to be the Church of Philadelphia, Phileo, Adelphos, brotherly love. As they're getting this video ready, it's just a couple of minutes. Let me say this. I got a testimony to tell today. Did you know Friday night somebody came up to me? Let's see, today is August the 17th. Am I right? All right. Last week was when? The 10th. What was the week before? All right, what was the week before? Now, hey, look. 2 weeks ago, we had homecoming, right? That's my point. Do you know what? Somebody showed up for homecoming. You know what they did? This what they told me by Friday night.
You're not aware.
Guess what? We got some guests with us today, and sometimes you're not aware of what all they're taking in. You're not all aware of what all they're seeing. You're not aware of all what all they're doing. You know what? This guest that came homecoming, they said, you know what they said? They hadn't been to church. They don't have a church background. They're not a Christian. They came to church here. You know what they told me Friday night? I'm telling you the gospel truth. They said, when they got here, they sensed so much love. That's what they said. They said it was love. And I want you to know, that person that came, they said, I've never sensed this before. I've never been around people that love, and I just sense some love. We don't love sin, but we love the sinner. Oh, glory to God. Listen to me. I'm telling you, God is real, and people are experiencing. They can tell. Well, this is the church of the open door. Revelation chapter 3. Stand, please, as we read this. If y'all would, get it ready for us, please, back in the back. Revelation chapter 3. We stood at this particular site. An open door. Onward, Christian soldiers. Revelation chapter 3. And I begin in verse number 7. And to the angel, the messenger, Angelos, of the church of Philadelphia, Phileo Adelphos, brotherly love. Why did I mention that? Because the church of Philadelphia was a brotherly love church. And you remember that Jesus had a word to say to all seven churches, that we had the privilege of walking in the very spot where Jesus wrote to these churches. And to the church of Ephesus, it was a busy church, but a backslidden church. The church of Smyrna, a pure church, but a persecuted church. By the way, we stood there, and I've got a film on video where I saw the place is believed where Polycarp was burned to the stake. You realize today the martyrs that are being killed in Iraq, these people that the ISIS and the Muslims and the radical jihadists are brutally killing. I have no telling how many they're killing. But I want you to know, it's been going down through the centuries. That's what's been happening. The blood of the martyrs runs knee-deep down through the centuries. And this man of God, namely Polycarp, who is a venerable bishop of Rome, a contemporary, if you will, of John the Beloved, Polycarp, 86 years old, they said, recant, deny Jesus, and declare, Emperor is Lord, Caesar, Kaiser is Kurios. He said, I will not do it. He said, we're going to destroy you and kill you. He said, go ahead and do it. What would you do? What would I do? Listen, they brought him to a stake. They said, deny the Lord. Well, it could happen here in America. God bless America. They tied him up. They said, recant. I will not. You know what he said? He said, 86 years I've served my Lord. I will not deny him now. Don't you love it? Onward, Christian soldiers. Hey, listen, what would you say? Hey, listen, what would you do right now if somebody came in? Some Muslim group. I was there in New Bern last night, and I stopped by a restaurant, and I walked in a restaurant, and there were the Muslims all around in New Bern, Georgia. Hello, Muslims all around in New Bern, Georgia. Do you know that? Sitting at a restaurant. I'm not saying they're radical terrorists, but I'm saying they are multiplying, and we're going to see. Onward, Christian soldiers. We are definitely in the battle. But wait a minute. As Polycarp was being burned to the stake, renounce the Lord. No, he said 86 years I've served my Lord. I'm not going to deny him now. Woo! Go, Polycarp. Tell him, son. Stay with the stuff. Don't you let them intimidate you. You stand strong as a soldier. Thank God the best is yet to come. We need some men and women of God who love Jesus more than the life. We've got it easy here in America. We are facing persecution, but nothing like they are. And there I stood at the spot and took that picture. A pure church, but a persecuted church. The church of Pergamos is a warm church, but a worldly church. The Lord said, there's the seat of Satan. I wish I had time. We'll do it another time to talk about the church of Pergamos. And then the church of Thyatira, a fruitful church, but a feminine church. There was a prophetess named Jezebel. And then we come to the church of Sardis, a dead church, but a dutiful church. I know your works are dead. Then we come to this church called the church of Philadelphia. Let's read it and then see a little bit about what it looks like today. Chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Underline this. Behold, I've set before thee an what? You sure? An open door, and no man could shut it. And by the way, Paul's right there. There were 10 different gods during the time when John's exiled on the Isle of Patmos writing to this church. 10 different gods. An earthquake occurred in 17 AD and devastated the place. It was a main highway running through this strategic location called Philadelphia. And yet, the Christians, you'll see what John, fired by the Holy Ghost, said to these Christians, stand fast. Look at it, verse 8. Again, I know thy works, said the Lord Jesus. Behold, I set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. Look at this, I like this next part. For thou hast, help me out, somebody. You got some strength to you, son. You got some strength to you. Use it. Don't be a coward. Don't be a sissy. Don't you let that crowd tell you it's not cool to serve God. Jesus was a man if ever there was a man. He was a man of all men. He was a man indeed, a strong man. Brother, I'll tell you what. You get to looking at his life and seeing what he did walking through crowds and turning over money changers. He wasn't a wimp like these movies portray him as some weak, feminine type of man. Baloney, amen? He was a man, I'm telling you. And by the way, you walk over there where they were walking these hills and mountains, you can see he was a man of endurance. Not only that, but anyway, he was a God man, the main thing. Look at verse 8. For thou hast a little strength, in the middle of the verse, thou hast a little strength, and has what? Kept my word. John says that church of Philadelphia, man, there's 10 gods, different gods all over the place, Roman pagan gods, Greek mythology, and emperor worship, all kind of pagan, but you kept my word. You've not denied my name. You kept my word. Look at this. And have not denied my name. Verse 9. Behold, I will make of them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which is to come upon what? You sure? It doesn't just say some of the world, does it? It says all the world. All the world, and try them that dwell upon the earth. I like verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Let's say that together. I come quickly. Say it again. I come quickly. Jesus said he's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. You don't have time to sow your wild oats. You don't have time to go AWOL on God. You don't have time to get backslidden. No, no, no. He said, watch and be sober. He said, blessed the servant. When his Lord comes, shall find so doing. Be holy as I am holy. Follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look at this. Continue reading, please. Verse number 11. Behold, I come quickly and hold fast. Onward, Christian soldiers. That's where I see it. Onward, Christian soldiers. Hold fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. How many believe there's going to be crowns in glory? I said there's going to be crowns in glory. I said this, the Bible teaches there's at least 5 crowns. If you believe this book right here, you must believe that one day we will give an account what the gifts and the abilities God's given us. We will appear at what is called the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be an accounting, not whether we go to heaven or hell. Our destination's been sealed, glory be to God. But the rewards that the Lord promises in his word, that's what's at stake, what we're talking about as a child of God serving the Lord. I just want to remind you that there is some accountability here, whether we realize or not. I didn't say it, the Lord said it. Look at verse number 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, I'm unworthy, we're all unworthy, but you're worthy. Lord, I bless you for the privilege. You called us, you've equipped us, you've anointed us, and you've sent us. Jesus, you said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Thank you for entrusting us with the gospel. Thank you for giving us an open door as a church here in Jasper County. here in Newton County, here in Bucks County, here in Putnam County, here in Morgan County, here up in Henry County. Buck and daughter from Henry County, and others are. God, I thank you for the open door in Rockdale County and all around. We bless you, Jesus. And then thank you for the open door you've placed before us and our families to be salt and light. The open door, our Father and God, in our jobs and in our neighborhoods. Oh, blessed God. Help us to be faithful and true to you. It's all about you, Jesus. Help us to love you more than we love the work. Lord, it's so easy for us to get the work, as it's been said, the work of you, the work of the Lord, and love it more than the Lord of the work. Help us to put the main thing, you number one. And then God, give us an obedient heart. Help us not to be stubborn. God, forgive me, Father, the ways when I doubted and had not believed you. We give you praise and glory today for what you're doing. And thank you what you're going to do. God, we expect great things. You said now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Get glory, Lord. Today I pray, Father, if there's one here today who's never tasted your grace, never really by faith received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father, may today be the day of salvation. Knock on our heart, Lord. You said, behold, I stand at the door and knock to the church of Laodicea. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, we'll sup with him, and he with me. We feel you knocking. Lord, I know you keep knocking on our heart. And I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've got planned for us. We love you. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. An open door. Onward, a Christian soldier. Here's the message. Here's the message. If you'd like to take notes, we, the minority, standing on the authority, reaching the majority. We, the minority, standing on the authority, reaching the majority. We, the minority, standing on the authority, reaching the majority. We'll fill in the blanks in just a moment. And we'll probably not let this whole thing play, so be ready to just pause it. I confess I'm not a professional photographer.
Here at the traditional site of the Church of Philadelphia, one of the churches, of the seven churches that Jesus inspired John the Beloved to write. And by the way, it's one of the churches that he had no condemnation to say to the church. Rather, there was commendation. In this letter, as John's exile on the Isle of Patmos, this is a traditional site again. There's no overwhelming archaeological evidences, but there are archaeological evidences showing that there were several pillars here from before the time of Christ, even after the time of Christ, the Byzantine time, on into the first and second century AD. Churches were worshiping the living God here. And John writes in the book of Revelation chapter 3, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things, he that is holy and he that is true, he hath the key to David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Then John writes and says, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee, I like this part, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know, to not, but to who do lie. Let me back up again. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. It's raining here and wind blowing, and my Bible is pages are blowing, so having difficulty reading. But anyway, verse 9 again of chapter 3 of Revelation. Behold, I will make thee of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're of Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. I like verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world and try them that dwell on the earth. Notice that God says he's going to keep them from the hour of temptation. That is, God's going to keep them, the word, from the hour. Keep them from the hour. The word ek, the preposition, means not going through the tribulation, but rather God is going to keep us through that terrible time in which he rains seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls upon planet Earth. He's going to rain his judgment, and God says that he's going to keep us from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the earth, and to try them that dwell on the earth. Then he said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, no man can take thy crown. And that is God's promised crowns to those who are faithful to love him and worship and serve him. The crowns mentioned, five of them in the New Testament. He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is his New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so this wonderful promise, God says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, and I will set before thee an open door. What a glorious promise to the blood-bought, to the blood-washed church of today. We are in him, and he is in us. And God has a promise that the door he opens, no man can shut, and the door he shuts, no man can open. I wonder today, what doors has God opened for you? What God doors has opened for me? Certainly, I would have never believed, never dreamed I would come to the Holy Land, Jerusalem, and Israel, and tour, and see the Sea of Galilee, and then stand on the Temple Mount, as well as traveling throughout Israel, and even standing in the Golan Heights as we overlooked the Syrian border, and then traveling into Petra of Jordan. It was absolutely amazing. And then staying in Eilat and sailing on the Red Sea, looking at Egypt, the border, and Syria, and then the Jordan and Saudi Arabia. What an open door God set before us. Absolutely amazing. God is so faithful. The Lord is so faithful. We can trust him.
All right. Thank you, Katie, for that. You can see that standing there was overwhelming. There are not a lot of remains. However, you saw what we saw. And this is just one of the sites we came to. We, the minority, standing on the authority, reaching the majority. Look at this, verse 8. I know thy works, before I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Again, I would have never dreamed that God would have opened the door for me to be able to go where I'd just been. You don't know what God's got planned for you. I believe that the Lord's got great things planned for his people. Now, if you're one of those that doubt in the negative, then maybe you may not live to see it. But wait a minute. Let me just develop this real quickly. First, we the minority. We the minority. How many know that the Christians now are in the minority? We're not the majority. No. We got a president that says we're not even a Christian nation. That's right. Y'all have heard it? I've heard it. So be it. But I want you to know, listen to me, we are the minority now. And we seemingly, if you agree, we're being overrun by the anti-Christian culture these days. They're trying to run over us. That's right. Look at the ACLU, American Civil Liberty Union. You know, look at what they're doing. I mean, you read about last week that they're saying, well, you can't pray at a ball game, a football game. Coaches are praying and the players are praying. I know they do this every year, but it's going to intensify. The Lord said it's going to intensify. I mean, look at what's going on. And in not only from that viewpoint, somebody said, hey, but as long as there's prayer in school, there'll be prayer in school. They can't quit. They can't stop us from praying. I got news for the crowd. You can say what you want to. You can do what you want to with law. But praise God, they can't stop me or you from praying. They can try, but they can't do it. Oh, they kill us. Jesus said, don't fear him that can kill the body, rather to fear him that can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Hey, listen. They're trying to overrun us. We, the minority. What about ISIS? Have you seen last week in the paper? Have you seen last week in the news? The flag of Islam in front of the White House. How many saw that? Y'all didn't read that? That the radical, you know, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. You know what all's going on? Hey, we better wake up. They have said their goal, their destination is to come to America. Wait a minute. Come to America. They're already in America. Let's have that picture up, please, Katie. Do you know Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said last week, he said, we better wake up. They're coming. I didn't say it. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said it. We better wake up. You just let one of that crowd grab a hold of a neutron bomb. You just don't think it can't happen. Hey, look what's going on right now. Where's that, Missouri? I mean, that's in. That's not the radical Muslims in Islam, but boy, they're just, man, that's pitiful, isn't it? Somebody say amen. Y'all don't have to be politically correct if you don't want to. I don't care what the politicians say. Amen. Let's pull up that map, please, Muslim map. We showed this other Sunday night. I want you to see this. Get a picture of it real quick. This is Islamic Terrorist Network in America. Look at all the sites they're in. Hello, God bless America. They're already here. They're already here. And I'm not being critical here, but let Pastor just get in the flesh for a minute. Can I get in the flesh just for a minute? What about these dropping these bombs on them? Come on, give me a break. Let's take them out. I can't hear you. Let's stop playing political games. Let's do business, all right? That's my personal opinion, all right? That may not be yours, but anyway. Here it is. Look at the mosques that are spreading across America. Onward, Christian soldiers. And here's the fact. Here's the fact. A lot of Christians are sitting on their blessed assurance, doing nothing for the glory of God. The Muslims are spreading across America. They've got their agenda. They hate Christians. We're infidels. They hate anybody that's not a Muslim. Don't you let anybody fool you. The Quran specifically says that. But their goal, can we bring up that synagogue, the map of the synagogue? I think we've got that as well. Mosque in America. Look at all the spreading of America. Right now, 50 to 99, and it's increasing by the day. It's increasing by... These are the facts, folks. This isn't just a preacher standing up here, you know, just spewing off. No, these are the facts. This is what's going on. Well, what are you going to do about it? Do you hear God calling your soldier? Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. Oh, listen. We can complain about it and whine about it and think that if we could just get the right politicians in there, they'll fix this mess. I'm telling you, nobody can fix this mess. Only God can come back again and take us to glory. And there's some think that they're looking to politicians to fix this mess. The Bible talks about what's going to happen at the end time. And brother and sister, you better get in the Word and buckle up your seatbelt. We're going for a ride. Know what the Word of God teaches of that Islamic regime, that alignment of nations in Ezekiel 38 and 39, in Psalm chapter 83, Zechariah 14, Isaiah 63, Revelation 19. It's all depicted right here in this blessed book. We, the minority, we are to stand on the authority. John said, you've kept my word. You stood on that blessed book right here. Oh, praise God. There's a battle over the Bible. But I want you to know the Word of God still lives. We can stand on it. It's unlocking it. Wait a minute. How many of you got a cell phone? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. Everybody's got a cell phone. Don't be embarrassed. I want to see it again. How many got a cell phone? Raise your hand. Y'all lying up here. Y'all lying. You got a cell phone. You know you do. Wonder if we used our Bibles like we do our cell phone. I got to have that thing, man. Can I tell y'all something? Question. How many times are you finding yourself checking it? How many times have you checked it today? How many of you got one right now with you and you've already been looking through stuff? I hear you. Pastor, I've got the Bible on my cell phone. Yeah, right. You may have the Bible on your cell phone, but you're also surfing on the internet while the service is going on too. It's getting quiet in here. I'm telling you that's our, and watch this, there's nothing wrong with having a cell phone, there's nothing wrong with doing research, but there's a time and place for everything. And if you can't concentrate for a few minutes as the Word of God's being preached, something's wrong. That's why we're losing, folks, ground in America. Onward, Christian soldiers. Wondering if we, I'm the world's worst. Man, I check this thing every, I'm about to tear it up, amen. I check this thing about every 2-3 minutes. Why? I can't tell when the thing buzzes. Y'all are calling me and texting me and emailing me and all that stuff, and I want to catch it. I'm one of those that when it buzzes, I want to know who's calling. You know what I mean? Y'all like me? I'm checking this thing every 2-3 minutes. I probably check this thing hundreds of times in a day. Do y'all like me? Y'all aren't that crazy yet, right? Your phone must not ring that much. It may not. Here's the point. Wonder if we used our Bibles like that. Wonder if we carried our Bibles with us. Wonder if we read our Bibles, checked our Bibles like we do the cell phones. Uh-oh, I done gone to heaven now. Oh, bless God. Hey, I'm glad, praise the Lord, I've got a cell phone. But often that cell phone becomes a priority even over the Bible. Tell me, do you give more attention to your cell phone than you do the Bible? You say, that's part of my job. Well, on with Christian soldiers. On with Christian soldiers. On with Christian soldiers. I got to close. A couple of thoughts. We the minority, standing on the authority, reaching the majority. We're about reaching people. Yeah. I may not can change the White House, but bless God, I can tell one soul how to get to heaven. I can reach out, reach down, reach up, one soul at a time. We live in a nation and a time. How many heard about last week? When you get two hotheads together, what happens? An explosion. NASCAR, race. Tony Stewart, ring a bell. Kevin Ward, ring a bell. What happens when two hotheads get together? Can y'all hear me? Am I loud enough? Hello. We, the minority, standing on the authority, reaching the majority. Robin Williams died last week. Sad. I met supposedly somebody yesterday that said their cousin was his secretary. I don't know. But I'm telling you this. I don't know if Robin Williams is in heaven or hell. I hope he's in heaven. Don't you? How many believe it after you die, it's over? Y'all don't believe after you die, it's over? It's over. What you do with Jesus in this life determines where you spend in the life to come. And I'm saying that our guests don't know all the deaths we've had recently over the last 6 weeks. 21-year-old man, 13-year-old boy, 45-year-old lady, and the list goes on. 57-year-old man. I mean, I'm just, it's all, every time I turn, there's somebody passing away. And there's a reality, whether young people realize it or not, the reality is we're going to die one day. You know what Robin Williams said? Robin Williams said this. A lady who's a friend of his, her husband just died. And this is the quote. I cut it out and copied it. She said, do you believe there's a life hereafter? By the way, everybody knows Robin Williams got a belt, hung himself. You know, I don't know if he had an alcohol problem. They said he did. One article I said, and maybe some other drug problem. I feel sorry for him. I really do. I wish I could have talked with him. I mean, it's too late now. But that's my passion, is to tell people before the devil kills them. I said before the devil kills them. The devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. You know what he said? He said to this lady, she said, do you believe in the life hereafter? I mean, I was wondering, was it right with God? You know, he said this, there's a scientific possibility that there's a life hereafter. That's what he said to her. End of quote. That was a recent quote. A scientific possibility. No. There's more than a scientific possibility. There is a biblical reality. There is a life hereafter. You believe that? And there's a biblical reality that you can know that you have eternal life. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a scientific possibility. Contrary to Hollywood's opinion, and I hope today you've got that assurance, let's stand together now as we say, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Tell me, soldier, are you enlisted in God's army? Tell me, soldier, are you enlisted in God's army? What kind of soldier are you? Soldier, are you in this fight? Are you one of those just critic? You just sit back and everybody else doing stuff and you're critical about what everybody else does? Easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. It's easy to be a critic sitting in the back while everybody else is doing stuff and y'all do this and y'all do this and this not right. Get in the battle. Get in the game. Get in this wonderful team and then you'll see. Praise God. It's a joy to serve the Lord and it's going to be worth it all. Tell me, soldier. What is God wanting to do in you and through you as an open door? 2014, 2015.